June 24th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast. Podcast number four. The fourth of four. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown. Coming to you from downtown, from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the Work Hub studios. And speaking of studios, This Week in Waukesha is brought to you by WAUK 540 AM and Civic Media. I'm joined, as always, by my faithful producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who is dog-sitting in a remote location but still able to handle the production duties quite well. And last, we saved the best for last. Okay, and sure. So we have a guest in podcast four. And a very special guest. He's been on the radio and he's been on the podcast with us before. And this is Bo Blask, the owner of Mia's here in downtown. Bo, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. A little hectic of a night, but we're doing great.
That's right. So Tuesday nights is carry out only, but you still do a big volume, right?
That's right. It's just me and my dad during carry out on Tuesdays. So sometimes it's a hit or miss, but tonight seemed to be a hit.
Well, great. Love to hear it. In my previous podcast, I kind of gave a review of the Bob Ross dinner and the fun that my wife and I had. Nice. I think I might have forgotten one of the courses. It was like between the salad and the pasta. Was there another course before the steak came?
There was like a shareable. The first one was a shareable, which was a beetroot.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, we got that. Yeah, crisp to the Parmesan. Yeah. Crusted. Yeah. Yeah. So I mentioned that. And then there was the salad. What came after the salad?
That was the pasta flight that came after the salad. Yep.
And then did the steak come after the pasta?
Yep. And then
the dessert.
Yeah. Wispy clouds for dessert.
Wispy clouds. Okay. Yeah. I described it as kind of a budino.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fantastic. It was just an amazing night. And are you doing this every month now? Your special dinners? It's a Monday night special dinner.
It seems to be every month. So far we have everything planned all the way up into December. I know in, November, we're going to be doing kind of two events. One is going to be for staff only, and then one is going to be kind of for another fancy dinner. It's going to be a Friendsgiving kind of thing, but nice. I guess the direction that I'm going to give for that is it's by invite only, so that should be interesting. And then, of course, December, we do our Festivus party every year. We're still going to do the party, which is usually free, with like a cash bar and whatnot and a bunch of free food and music. But then we're going to actually do another Festivus dinner as well, which of course you'll be able to participate in the Feast of Strength, and hopefully
hearing of grievances.
Yeah. And hopefully take me down. So, you take me down, you get the restaurant. What's that?
Well, you have the Festivus pole that's made in Milwaukee, by the way.
That's made right here in Milwaukee. So we'll have an all-traditional, unadorned pole that we will marvel at. So that'll certainly be a thing. I know in next month is the 1776 event. It is kind of a take on the Patriotic Independence Day. And then in September, I believe we're doing the it's a British event that goes back to back from our event. It's called Long Live the Queen, at least the late queen, at least. And so that'll be an interesting event. Every course is kind of inspired by every maiden queen that had ever ruled over Britain. So should be a really interesting event is that as well.
Should have checked with me on those ones, Bo. No, I'm just kidding. I'm upset that your neighbors have the Union Jack hanging over the Beatles bar, but what can you do?
That's right. So it should be real interesting. I know August is up in the air. We have a few ideas for that on whether or not we're going to do the Four Seasons or if there's something else in there. And I can't quite remember off the top of my head, but I know there's something scheduled for that.
I'm sorry, are there any openings for the bicentennial dinner? I knew there was like seven or six, like the night of the Bob Ross party. Are there any others?
We are actually officially all sold out for the 1776 event, and I haven't even released the British event yet. I know I should be releasing that in the next coming of days. Sure. So that should be opening up. Again, it's only 20 seats. It's really intimate. It's really cool. You really don't know what's going to happen until you get there. And sure. I know sometimes people think that they're going to reach out to me and try to figure out what's on the menu. But unless you have an allergy, I really don't divulge it very much.
Well, yeah, I mean, since 1776 is sold out, can you tell us what the majority of listeners, what they'll be missing? I know I'm signed up, so I'm covered, but.
Right, it's all Sailor Biscuits and Tack.
What?
I said it's all Sailor Biscuits and Tack. No, so this should be an interesting one. We actually did a lot of research on some really vintage recipes from the 1700s, which cool. You might think doesn't sound super appealing. We took kind of a modern twist on it, and that's essentially the theme for this event. We'll kind of take you on a story of the traveling of the Delaware, and then having kind of a great reprise, and then, of course, the independence from Britain, which will be the dessert.
Have you ever seen the movie The Patriot?
Of course. Mel Gibson.
Remember they get the commanding officer's dogs? And they're
That's
joking
right.
around with one guy with the preacher about cooking the dog, and the preacher protests, and Mel Gibson goes, "A dog is a good meal."
That's right.
They all agree.
Right.
All the soldiers agree, and so could there be some dog in this or?
No dog in this one. No dog, no horse.
That might upset a lot of people.
Too
yeah.
Outrageous here. Believe it or not a ton of meat in this. At all. There's one dish that is heavy on the protein, and then the rest we get really, really creative with.
Sure. Very cool. Yeah, no, we're excited. I'm thinking of your British scene. I'm making fun of it because, again, I'm Irish. But if you remember long ago when The Daily Show was originally hosted by Greg Kilborn.
Oh, sure.
And he had John Cleese on. And when Greg Kilborn was doing it, he'd have like kind of a series of questions at the end of the interview. And one of them to John Cleese was, "Why does British food suck?" And John Cleese starts laughing. But that's not true anymore. Like, I remember when I first went to Ireland in 94, or no, when I went to England in Cambridge, during my Cambridge days, I got to take classes there just so I could say that years from now. But the food is very bland, but a concerted effort was made in the UK and in Ireland to really up the game from a culinary standpoint, to which it's like, that's not true anymore. That it isn't like, you know, you bite into a steak and you'd be like, "Where's the flavor?" You know, or you go into a McDonald's and it'd be like the Big Mac would taste like cardboard. But that's not the case anymore, right? Based on what your research has shown you and what you've seen in your travels. Maybe.
I think you make a few good points. I think ever since the boom of like Marco Pierre White out there in London, there has been an increase in a variety of flavors that have been brought to England. But I will say that classically, as the stereotype goes, their food is bland. And most of the time when you find something that is quite delicious, it won't be British food. It'll be it'll be an Indian restaurant, or it'll be an Italian restaurant, or French or something else. But they've certainly made their staple there. And we're just kind of bringing some of those classics here.
Bringing it stateside. Cool.
That's right.
I love it. So, well, that's great. And so how are things going with the restaurant overall?
We're in the summer, so we see a lot of really good foot traffic. I'll say classically, though, we've seen probably a 32% decrease in, like, brick-and-mortar visits, but then probably I think it was around 18% increase on to-goes. So an interesting like paradigm shift on how that is, and then that might be a corollary between the political environment on how all that is and my vendors and
I think that fight almost started in your restaurant with a woman.
That's right. I know exactly what you're talking
friends.
About.
Yeah, we worked it out. But
yeah, that's great. You hugged it out?
We hugged
Perfect.
It out. Oh yeah.
So. Yeah, I think I did look ahead. You are coming to the next event if I think I saw that.
Yes, Melissa's joining me again, and I'm sure Mary Jane will be there. And what was I going to say? I think with the spike in carryouts and maybe the dip in on site is I think it's a couple things. With the weather being nice, people want to eat at home or they want to eat outside. And also when the weather gets maybe too nice and it's like hot and muggy like this,
right?
That same thing, like not everybody feels like going out, and even, you know, just the walk to the restaurant from the car is unbearable, you know, for some people. And
absolutely.
They'll send a sacrificial lamb. Usually it's me to go pick up the Mias and bring it home.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So that explains it. Yeah.
Somebody's got to bring home the goods, you know.
But downtown's jumping. I mean, I've yet to go to a Friday Night Live because of other conflicts, namely softball. And we've been to two farmers markets, which is a lot for us this time of year. But when we're downtown, it's been on a Monday or Tuesday night or when, and downtown's jamming.
Yeah.
And so how do you feel about that? Or what are some of your takes on the weeknight business boom?
Right. So we're seeing an increase on activity on Tuesday, which is great because, with the Tuesday carry out, that works great for us because then we don't have to have a huge labor load on us, but we're able to still function as a restaurant and do the things that we need to do as far as maintenance and stuff, which is usually what I'm doing on Mondays and Tuesdays. But I guess there's something to be said also for the nightlife that you also are starting to see down here with some of the younger crowds as well, even on a Monday night. You know, you'll find that in most cases down here on Monday, a lot of the downtown restaurants are closed, I think, except for maybe two of them that I can count on hand, right?
Yeah.
People's Park and maybe... And I'm not sure if I'm ready to join that gambit of being open 7 days a week. I kind of like having that forcible break in there, and I think my staff do as well. But we are looking at doing some other things, especially on Fridays and Saturdays, where we are going to be the only ones open all the way till 2 a.m. So it'll be kind of a transitionary period from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., but we're going to serve food all the way till 2 a.m.
Nice.
So that'll be a huge change. We're hoping that takes off for us. It'll be a modified menu, so it's mostly just, you know, appetizers and pizza.
Right. When I was in the restaurant business full time in Chicagoland, it was Illinois law, I believe, that you had to have your kitchen open as long as your bar was open.
Sure.
And so the idea was like half an hour before last call, you'd shut everything down except maybe the fryer. And so you could still do fries and chicken fingers, whatever that was. But you still had to be up until, but that's not the same in Wisconsin, right? In fact,
no. God, no.
There's some places that just have tavern licenses, but it is neat that you're doing that because I think when you have food, you don't have as many people that are overserved or they have something that absorbs all the booze.
Sure. Well, I mean, you take a look at some of the competition that I face downtown right across the street, who does a great job is People's. And People's is open till 11 o'clock p.m. Well, what happens
really? When all those people?
Yeah, they serve food till 11 o'clock. So you think, well, we could do that, but to just, you know, jab it in a little deeper and one up them, we're going to do it till 2 a.m. so that all the people that kind of miss that ball at the 11 o'clock hour can still make it till the 2 o'clock hour.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat. Yeah, we were telling some friends the other day when my wife's brother got married. His wife's parents or her father came over here from Sicily as a young boy. It's a very traditional Sicilian Italian family. And at this wedding reception late at night, all the elders, all the elderly moms and grandmas came out with like basically Tupperware and pans of like.
They love me.
It was subs and wings and desserts. And it was just like kind of that traditional Italian wedding dessert table, but it was more than that. It was for like people to eat because you've been drinking all night, you know, since dinner stopped. And this was a good chance to kind of absorb what you were drinking and also, you know, kind of be healthy and continue to celebrate. And so that could be an option for you too. Maybe if you have like kind of a table, like an all you can eat kind of deal where it's not as much work for you.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we thought about like buffet lines. There's been kind of a lot of different renditions on what we're going to take on as far as how that late night hour looks. And then I'm excited. I think we're hoping to do that in the next few weeks.
Yeah, because you currently don't sell pizza by the slice, right? You have like the kind of the personal pizza and the bigger one.
During Friday Night Live, we sell pizza by the slice, but that's the only time we do it.
Yeah. And how's Friday Night Live been going for you?
It's all right. The last one was, you know, a little slower because Summerfest and then St. Mary's Festival. The two Friday Night Lives before that were very good, fruitful. I enjoy those. Those are very good. We have a very good team for that. So we're always excited. We have some really good bands that kind of come back every year for us. Then we sprinkle in some new ones every year. So it's always a good time, always fun. Yeah, it's a good time. We're limited on space, but we make the most of it.
That's great. Yeah, no, it's a great little space you got there. And am I able to ask you, do you have plans for our plans of expansion in your future, either expanding the current space or maybe getting a second or third restaurant? Do you see that in your long-term future?
I do, actually. So we hope to take this, I guess I'll call it the chef's table, this chef's table concept, this community yeah. table thing, to eventually a new location. Right now we're having a good time doing what we're doing here. We have one of the largest kitchens in Waukesha, so we're able to yeah. do a lot and really concentrate ourselves at this. But I think eventually we'd like to see us in a different spot for that and then run Mia's independently separate from that as well. Sure, and of course, you know, we're still looking to operate the, I guess I'll call it the backyard speakeasy that we're trying to put together for our backyard patio. That's been quite a hem and haw on certain licensures and things that need to be in place. So there's been a lot of hoops certainly still to jump through on that.
Yeah. Is there any residential behind you there?
Yes and no, but because we're still an entertainment district, it's not still considered commercial zoning.
Okay, but eventually you'll get the entertainment district designation. That's supposed to happen this year, right?
Yeah, hopefully. I think that would be great because then that would really lighten the load on certain statues as far as music playing and when you're allowed to and when you can't.
Yeah, sure. No, it's going to be great. It's going to be, you know, and it's the, I always felt that as great as our downtown is that the footprint's not big enough for a city of 70,000 people, that there's definitely, it could expand in different directions.
I agree.
I mean, all the way even to like White Rock, I think it would be neat with Frame Park there. It'd be really neat to have some more restaurant and retail concepts or nightclub or bar concepts kind of going down that road.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a big industrial sector there, but it'd be fun to see one way or another. So, or and then the other directions like closer to Carroll, you know, because I know with the entertainment district that it's also going to include William Street, where El Estacion is, and Club 400 and Sobelman's are. And I think that's a great, we need to kind of build greater connectivity. So, I mean, I personally would love to see a trolley that goes around on Friday nights, not just in downtown, but also to like Raise Grain and to Tally, you know, like really make it a.
Yeah, a double decker party bus, right?
Yeah, there you go.
That's perfect.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Or a hayride.
That's it. So, yeah.
In the fall. Yeah.
Horse and carriage all year round.
There you go. So
jam on traffic. That'll be great.
So yeah, in the 2 minutes we have left, what else do you want listeners to know about what's going on at Mia's this summer in downtown and why they have to be there? Why they can't miss it?
Oh, well, we're always kind of making updates not only to our menu, but kind of to our decor. So as you come in, you know, it seems like every time I do one of these podcasts with you, I'm always explaining that, hey, we got something new hanging on our walls. Recently put up a kind of redone some work in our bar room, and we're going to continue doing that. Something that we're looking to do in the near future, we're looking at getting a 18-foot custom-made table for our bar room and getting rid of those middle tables. And so we've had a little pushback. We've had some really good feedback, and we're
like
definitely
like a common table, like you're talking about, like the Chesapeake Bay Crab House has, and like these other. It's big out east. Yeah, I love those.
So I think that's probably the coolest thing that we're going to be bringing to our our floor soon. And we are expanding, we're growing slowly but surely, and there's a lot of really cool things happening.
Sure. And then in terms of your internal staff too, they're developing too. Like you have some people in some management roles, I understand, right?
Absolutely. Lauren does a great job. Definitely. Yeah.
So that's great. So yeah, you keep that up, then maybe you will be open all 7 days, but Bo gets 2 or 3 nights off.
I doubt it ever.
We'll see you. But Bo Blask, I really appreciate you joining us tonight, and especially under such short notice. Congrats on another great carryout night on Tuesday, and you're back open again tomorrow, full service all the way through to Sunday, correct?
That's right. Yep, all the way through Sunday. Let's hope the weather holds out for us. You know, depending on how hot it gets, I'll shut down for heat. So
that sounds great. So yeah, thanks again. I want to thank my producer, the mighty Max Martinson, always does a great job. I want to thank Civic Media and WAUK 540 AM for making all this possible. I want to thank all of you for listening and let me enter your ears in your living rooms or wherever office spaces, wherever you are when you're listening. Please remember, we want to hear your story. If you have one to tell, please message me. And as always, especially as we get into the holidays and the hot weather, remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Awesome food like the Italian cuisine and other great offerings at Mia's are also are there for you. So take advantage of them and all the great offerings of our fantastic downtown Waukesha. And I hope you all have a wonderful start to the summer. And I look forward to connecting with you all soon. Go Rumila Mahagav Glare and see ya.